And a good morning. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN. We start things off this morning talking with Greg McClure. He is the Riley County K-State Extension Ag Agent. He joins us on the phone today. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning.
Always a pleasure to have you on. And it's turning to fall here in the next few days as we get set for the holiday weekend. Temperature's going to be shifting here real soon. And I know you're going to update us on kind of some of the different things to do around the farm here this time of year.
You know, I really love this weather. We've got a little AI project going on with my son's sows for his 4-H project, and this cool weather should really help with that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think we're going to be in the 90s up till Labor Day, and then we're really going to see a big switch starting on Tuesday. We'll see some showers in here. Temperatures in the 60s, not bad at all. And that's probably good for our crops.
Yeah, we'll take it. It is good for most of the crops. Riley County crops have progressed really quite well, and so we're not like some of the other counties that they've stalled out. Talked to a farmer in Saline County the other day, and some of their crops, Milo especially, was really hurting for moisture, and they needed rain, and it was sitting there waiting. And so, you know, they need a rain, and then they need some heat. I think here in Riley County, we're probably in pretty good shape, and this cool weather will work well for us.
All right. Well, let's dive right into some of your topics today, and we'll start with round hay bale storage. Tell me a little bit more.
Yeah, well, I've kind of thrown at you just a random list of things that kind of go through my mind at this time of year. And this is actually a topic that is going to be my radio program Saturday morning. And so we'll just preview it. We won't cover it too deep. But, you know, I think about the round hay bale storage because, you know, honestly, 21%, I did the math, 21% of a bale, is 6-foot bale, is in the outer 4 inches. And our research shows that most of the weathering loss occurs in the outer 4 inches of a bale. And so when you think about that, it's like, you know, we need to do something to keep from losing so much of our feed. You know, basically, if we set these bales out in the weather, and that's the way most of them are going to be stored and be stored in the field. If we don't do a little better job of storing them, we're losing 20% before we get it to the cow. And so we'll talk about that a little more tomorrow. Actual losses in the field, you know, show anywhere from 3 to 46% in studies. And so you may not lose that whole 20% of that out of 4 inches, but you may. And so listen in tomorrow morning. I tell the story a whole lot better there than what I'm doing right now. Okay. At least I think so.
All right. Well, that's a little tease for tomorrow for sure. Yeah. Weaning calves, that's another topic here.
Yeah, you know, it's just September. Traditionally, a lot of guys would wean calves middle of October or 1st of November when the cows come off grass. That's something we've been trying to make a switch for many years, is to maybe wean a little earlier, and we really should be thinking about that. There's some real good reasons to wean earlier. Basically, calves don't gain a whole lot of weight in the last month or month and a half on pasture. At the same time, those calves are out there on the cows, and I'm talking spring calving cows. Those calves, we say spring calving. Our farmers, when they spring calve, they start in February or March, so that's really winter. But anyway, those calves are 5 months old, and they're big enough to wean. But they're also dragging that cow down. And so if the calf stays on the cow at this time of year, she's likely going to be losing weight, where we'd really like for her to gain weight. And the reason we want her to gain weight is because we're getting set to go into wintertime. It's going to get cold. She lives outside. She's going to need more energy to maintain her weight to stay warm. And so she'll burn energy. She'll lose weight through the winter. So we'd like to put on weight now, yet this fall. So if we get that calf off, we've got a pretty good chance of putting some weight on those cows on the corn stalks or Milo stalks yet this fall.
Okay.
And so you know, Brandon, I know that we know you don't have real ag background, yeah. And so this is I get it that some of this may be foreign to you, not meaning to call you out, but no. You know when I'm sitting across from you face to face, it's like you've not experienced this, have you?
I have not. No, I didn't live on a farm growing up.
Yeah, you know, you know, what we normally experience is, you know, that 1st of November, and I say normal, this is the last 30, 40 years, I show my age here, a lot of producers are making a change, but the tradition is in the fall, you bring those calves home, you put them in a pen, and then you spend a couple nights listening to them bawl. And you know, it's not the best way to wean calves. We still do it quite a bit, but there's better ways. The one that we'd like to promote is a low-stress fence line weaning. And in that situation, you would actually have a holding pen right next to the pasture where you could bring the cows in and hold them in the pen while the calves stay out in the pasture across the fence and are weaned. And so it's a quieter system. It's a calmer system, actually easier on the calves because they're used to that environment. They're eating the same feed they're used to eating. They've still got access to some of the grass they've been on. And we've prepared them for that weaning and not suddenly shocked them by taking them away from mom. And so if we can do it that way, yeah, I think we can do a better job. And we've still got some time if we've got some producers that just now think about that and think, well, yeah, maybe I ought to give that a try. I think it'd work real well this fall.
All right. Now, that's, of course, fence line weaning, not always practical on some operations. What are some other...
Well, and if it's not practical, then we need to think about what are we going to do. And what we're going to do is we're probably going to bring them in, and we're going to haul them home. We're going to put them in a tight pen. You know, I said tight pen because I've done this and had them get out. And that's not a good situation either. And we're going to, you know, just separate them from the cows. But when we do that, we need to rethink how we do some things. And, you know, I'll say on the McClure farm, the system was a pen down in the muddy lot at the bottom of the hill with bunks out in the middle of the pen. And that's not the way it ought to be done. The bunk out in the middle of the pen, if you wean those calves, they're going to be over on the fence line. And so if they don't find that bunk, they're not going to eat. So the first thing we need to do is put our bunks perpendicular to the fence line. So while they're walking the fence, they're going to run into the bunk and they're going to find the feed. And kind of the same thing with water. The other thing that, again, we weren't smart enough to do is you really need some good grass hay, this kind of stuff that they're used to eating, to get them started. And so we'll put our weaning ration in the bunk, you know, a couple pounds, and then we'll put a couple pounds of grass hay on top of that. And so it's something that they like. They'll eat that, and then they'll find the weaning ration below. After they found it, then you can kind of switch it. You know, just some things that, you know, if you haven't been brought up that way, you know, many times we do what Dad did, and maybe Dad didn't know any better. And just it doesn't hurt to rethink how we do some things.
All right. Hey, Greg, we have a phone call here. Someone with a – no, never mind. I apologize.
Went away.
I thought we did, but they went away.
Okay.
Managing coal cows, I guess that's the next part.
Well, yeah. Again, this time of year, it's fairly common that you bring the calves in, you wean the calves, and then any cow that you don't want to keep, you take her to the sale barn. That's actually more often a 1st of November type thing. We're maybe early enough yet here in early September that if you've got some cows out there that you know you're going to move, that you really might want to go get those out of there and get them to the sale barn before the price drops. And historically, you know, somewhere in November is going to be your low price. And historically, your higher cool cow prices will be February to May. And so depending on what you have for a feed source, you know, you can either get them weaned off early and get the cow out of there, or you can wean those calves, put those cows out on stocks, and hold them over until February or March. Put some weight on them on the stocks. Have more pounds to sell, and get a higher price. Problem is, if you don't have a cheap source of feed like that, if you're going to have to haul feed to them, that may not work. You know, you really need to be able to feed them really cheap in order to make that program work. But, the Farm Management Association shows that somewhere like 24% of our gross income comes from cool cows. And so they're not just something to get rid of. You know, it's worth managing, worth trying to get even more revenue out of them.
Now we have a caller here, Greg, so let me get to them next.
Okay.
Good morning, you're on In Focus.
Yes, let's move up to the kitchen door garden up at the house. I got friends borrowing my forked potato shovel. Should we leave the smaller potatoes in the ground for a fall garden? And with the fall garden idea, are you doing seeds or bedding plant? And, you know, I had had a lettuce with a coal frame clear up till Christmas. Thank you for your ideas.
Well, now you're going to challenge me. So that was a big Greg Eystone question. This is Greg McClure. So Greg's the horticulture agent. I'm the ag agent. Now, I like the fall garden idea. As far as leaving those potatoes in the ground, I think you're going to want to take those out. Those are probably not going to grow for you. But again, that's maybe a little bit out of my area of expertise, but that's what I think I know.
All right. That's not bad, Greg.
No, I honestly, I before I came to Riley County, I was in Clay County and did both horticulture and agriculture, so I'm not totally lost, but I certainly don't have the area of expertise that Greg Eystone has.
Sure.
So I apologize for that.
Oh, no worries. Let's move on to wheat varieties, what do you want to talk about here?
Well, you know, we are getting to the point of, and really it's not going to take long to talk about wheat varieties. We're at the point of getting ready to plant wheat. We need to talk about what should we be planting. And without going into a lot of detail, I'll just kind of list a few that I think work for this area. So Syngenta's got a variety called Monument that's been very popular and has done well around here. And so I think that's one that needs to be on the list. Another one that we've planted for several years that has worked well is Westbridge Grain Field. And then K-State has a variety called Zenda that seems to work well going in behind corn. And so those are some of them we need to be thinking about. A couple others that I think look good. Westbridge has a new one that really got my attention this year. It's $46.99. Problem with that one is that it's listed as certified seed only. I really didn't know that until last week. I have to admit that that was CSO certified seed only, which means you're not supposed to keep your seed and replant it. So if you're in the habit of buying new seed every year, though, that's one that I think you really need to go after and see what it does for you. So that's where I'd start. I'd start with those four or five varieties, and then look beyond that. If you've got some other needs, give me a call.
All right. And lastly here, being a good neighbor.
Yeah, and then the last thing on my list is, as we get ready to plant wheat, we always want to remind you that volunteer weed is a bad thing. You know, in the cow business, you think volunteer weed is free feed, but the problem with volunteer weed is that it harbors the wheat streak mosaic virus. So there will be, the virus will be on there. There'll be curl mites in there that carry that virus. And then as new wheat gets planted nearby, those curl mites will blow in the wind and move to the new field and carry the virus over there and can do significant damage, 25% yield loss easily on the edge of the field, and depends on how far out it goes in the field. And so it's just something that we need to control. And to do that, we control the volunteer wheat, which causes the curl mites to die. And so then we don't have the vector to carry the virus. And so if we're thinking about doing that, we're looking at, an October planting date. And so really, if we're going to do it with a herbicide, we need to be spraying it early September and give it a couple weeks to die, and it'll die slowly. And then we want it to be dead for a couple weeks before we plant. So now is the time, if you're planning on planting wheat nearby, or if you're near a neighbor's field where they're going to be planting wheat, to get your volunteer wheat controlled.
Okay, all good tips to know. And Greg will be on Saturday morning for the extension update, so be sure to tune into that, and you can learn a little bit more about around hay bale storage. Greg, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
All right, again, Greg McClure from the Riley County Extension Ag Agent. Stay tuned. We'll hear from Karen Hibbert up next on News Radio KMAN.